All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. And good evening. This is American Vindicta. We are officially on episode 11. Today's date is December 1st, 2021. Thank you for joining me. So we're going to continue with our talks about preparedness. I was talking with a good friend of mine the other day, and he said, hey man, you know, a really good idea for one of your shows is you should tell people the type of equipment and gear that you've used for over a decade, and the things that you think are good and are worth buying. I said, you know, that's a really good idea because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who, you know, they sell products that they may or may not believe in and that, you know, just aren't that good, honestly. A lot of these military grade style, you know, flashlights or this cooking implement or, you know, this tactical shovel. You know, the truth about it is a lot of these things they say they're military grade, it doesn't mean the military uses it. So, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes when I say that, but I buy gear that is going to be reliable, that us as professionals, we as professionals have used, that we have done many tests on, we've beaten and abused. And, you know, I just tell you that through my time in the military and in law enforcement, I have come across a lot of nifty gadgets, and I've come across some diehard, true-to-the-bone equipment that are very popular in name, and those of us who are on the giving end of shooting at people have used and are very successful tools and pieces of equipment. So I just want to give you kind of an overall briefing, and every week I'll get a little bit more descriptive with this. So just for starters today, I'm just going to tell you what it is that I use, and who am I? Well, this is Wrecker. I'm Doug Thornton. I'm formerly Homeland Security. I was a contractor prior to that. I worked in the Bureau of Prisons. I was in the Marine Corps Infantry for 4 years, deployed twice to Iraq. So I have some time and some experience with a lot of different materials, a lot of different pieces of equipment and tools. So I just thought I'd like to share this with you. And you may be out there saying, you know, what type of protective equipment, what type of bullets, what type of flashlights, you know, what type of rifles or pistols or shotguns should I be looking for to buy to better help my self-preparedness? So I'm going to give you a little bit of what I got. All right, so for starting off, what should the regular American be buying in terms of preparedness? Well, I guess that really depends on what level of preparedness are you trying to get ready for. Are you trying to be economically prepared? Are you trying to be prepared as in terms of farming? And we will eventually get to that. Are you trying to be prepared in terms of home defense? Or do you want that, I don't know, the more popular thought of being prepared for when prophecy hits the fan. You know, having your combat kit, having the cool guy gear, and what should that look like? What a roundabout should that cost? So, you know, this is a real rough briefing on this, so I'm just going to give you some roundabout numbers, and I'm going to give you the pieces of gear and equipment that I have, and I'm going to tell you why I have it, and I'm going to tell you the different types of gear that I've had over the years and the things that I've transitioned away from and why I went from a very heavy gear with a lot of protection all the way to very light gear with very little protection, why I'm kind of going back to heavy gear again. So without further ado, what type of tactical gear should you buy? If you were in the market for it, I would tell the American Patriot, you need to have a rifle. More preferably, you need to have an AR-style rifle. I like Sig Sauer. I have the Sig Sauer 7.16, which is a 6.5 Creedmoor AR-10. I have the Sig Sauer MCX, which is a 5.56. They also have a 300 black variant. Real quick, the reason why I like the MCX, it's a piston-style operating system. It is a machine when it comes to shooting. I have shot many rounds through this rifle. I have had almost no failure to feeds. I really haven't had any stovepipe problems, which, you know, more than likely that would come from bad ammunition or a bad magazine. But it runs like a champ. I don't get a lot of gas blowback. I've had very little problems with it. The accuracy is phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about it. And with SIG, there is also a bunch of different combinations of variations for the MCX that you can have. I think on SIG's website, they said they have over 400 different variations for this one weapons platform. So you can make it longer, you can make it shorter, you can do a barrel change out very quickly, so you can go from a regular 16-inch barrel to, you know, whatever size barrel shorter than that you'd want, and a handguard to match it. I find mounting optics and mounting flashlights and lasers and all that kind of stuff really easy on the M-Lock system that it has on the foregrip. So I can't say enough good things about it. It's about roughly $1,900, maybe $2,000 walking out the door, depending on taxes. For a very good rifle, I find that to be a very good price. Now, there are other rifles out there, and there are other companies that sell very, very good weapons. I just love the way the SIG MCX looks. I think it looks sexy. I think it's awesome looking. It's a little heavy, but heavy and reliable. I don't think I'm going to break this thing. You know, I've manipulated a bunch of different types of rifles. I'm like, God, you know, these pencil barrels and really thin handguards. I'm a bigger guy, so to me, it just feels, you know, kind of flimsy, even if it is or if it isn't. I love the way the MCX feels. I have some friends of mine that are former Rangers. They have MCXs, and they absolutely love them. They have the pistol variant, so it has the pistol-style buttstock on it. And so it's the shorter, I think it's a 10.5. I have the 16-inch, so I have the regular combat patrol-style rifle. I can't say enough good things about it. I've shot thousands and thousands of rounds through this, and typically what I was shooting was ammunition that was Federal 5.56 at 55 grains to 60 grains. No problems. Never had a problem. I typically only run Magpul magazines. I do like Lancer magazines. I think that's another very good magazine to use. You know, the general steel magazines that the military gave me works well in them as well. And there are some weapon platforms out there, some ARs that, you know, they only like Magpul, or they only like this type of magazine, or they only like that type of magazine, or they'll take a combination of different types of magazines, and then like your favorite one, it won't use. So I found that I haven't had any problems like that with this weapon, with the SIG MCX. Same thing with the SIG 7.16, my 6.5 Creedmoor. Zero problems with it. It's a big gun. It's a big damn heavy gun. It's about 14 pounds with a loaded magazine. And, you know, it's an AR style, so, you know, you can shoot it however you feel like shooting it. For me, it's a designated marksman rifle, and that's how I employ that that weapon. With my 7.16, I have a Vortex Razor Gen 2 optic on it. I typically only run Lancer magazines out of it, the 25 round, I think the 10 and 5 round magazines. Those magazines are going to cost you a little bit, but it's a It's a plastic style magazine that has a metal top to it. So I like that combination of that magazine. I find it to be very proficient and, zero malfunctions from any of that so far. I run Hornady match grade. Let me see, 147 grain ELD. That's what I use. My MOA is extremely tight. I will stack round upon round just testing it out at 200 meters. So I found that I've never had a problem with that. I haven't really had a chance to take it out and push its limits, but I do know that the military uses this rifle. They also use the MCX, and they have very little complaints. The 6-hour won military contracts to employ both of these weapon platforms. So, there's your validation right there. The other one that I like to use is my SIG MPX. So once again, that's all three 6-hour weapon platforms. My SIG MPX is a pistol caliber carbine. It shoots 9mm, and I run anything from 115 grain ball, Winchester white box to anything that I can put through that rifle. Pistol caliber carbine, whatever. I've never had any problems with it. I ended up taking the original buttstock off of it and put a telescoping buttstock on it, and I found that to be a lot easier to manipulate and handle the weapon because it's a very small platform, and once again, I'm a big guy, so it looks kind of awkward when I hold it, but it's great. The only downside I have to my MCX, because I had the Gen 2 MCX, is that the magazines are $65 a piece, and I think they're proprietary, but someone else may be making those magazines for cheaper. But the 6-hour MPX magazines, man, I've never had one problem with it. Once again, I've shot thousands of rounds out of that weapon platform. Really tight MOA, fun to shoot. I mean, it's a laughter to shoot, so I love shooting that weapon. It's a great home defense weapon, too, because you don't have that problem with over-penetration. But because it is small, it's easy to manipulate around corners within my house. I got all kinds of lights and optics and doodads on it. You don't have the over-penetration problem like you might have with a shotgun or with a high-caliber rifle. So I like to use the MPX for, a home defense-style situation. The other thing I have would be my pistols. So with pistols is anybody's flavor, really. I like Glocks. I've used Glocks for over 10 years now. I've never had a problem with any Glock I've ever shot. And there are plenty of people out there who say, well, when I shoot the Glock, it doesn't feel right in my hand. Or, when I fire, it doesn't cycle correctly. If you're firing any type of a pistol that operates without blowback, if you're not holding it tight, if you're not holding it correctly, you'll make the gun go out of battery because you're limp wristing it, as we would call it. You're not squeezing the handle of the pistol grip of the gun hard enough. So if that's a problem that you're having, more than likely that is your problem if the gun is going out of battery. I use the Glock 22 Gen 4. I use the Glock 19 Compact Gen 4. Zero problems with these weapons. Zero problems. I carried the Glock 22 for 10 years now when I was with the government. No problems with that pistol. That pistol will always outshoot whoever is shooting it. 9 times out of 10, any problem there is with the weapon is the shooter. So I've had zero problems with this weapon, with my SIGs, with my Glocks. That's what I would suggest for people to buy. There are other weapon platforms out there that are good. SIG does make good pistols. I'm not a fan of Smith & Wesson Shields. I'm not really a fan of Colt pistols. There's nothing wrong with six shooters. I stay away from 1911s. I like something that has a double stack within my magazine, which means with a 1911, normally it's an 8 plus 1, unless you get the Wilson Pro Combat magazines where it's an extended, and you can have a 9 plus 1. I like having more than 10 rounds in a magazine. I like the ability to have 15 rounds to a 30-round stick mag for my Glocks. I also have another type of weapon platform that I use to put a Glock into, the Micro Roni. So basically it just turns my pistol into a stabilized platform to shoot, and then I can use stick mags that are 20 round to 30 rounds, depending on what it is that I'm using. That's another really great platform to use for home defense style stuff or stuff to keep in your vehicle. And because the Micro Roni is not technically a weapon, you're not really going to get in trouble for crossing state lines with that, as far as I know, so don't take my legal advice on that. But, you know, all you're doing is you're just taking your pistol and putting into this this Micro Roni, and then it just becomes a stabilizing weapon now. So that's what I like to use that for. Let me see. So we've covered long rifles, we've covered ARs, and we've covered pistols. All these guns that I'm talking about, they're cool. They're great. They're worth the money. My SIG MCX, like I said, it's about $1,900. The SIG MPX, the pistol caliber carbine, you're going to be looking probably $2,100 to $2,300 for that. I'm telling you, it's worth the money. There are a bunch of people who say that, you know, there are other types of weapon platforms that they like to use. Use what you feel like. Use what you can buy. But if I have my preference, I'm sticking with SIG. My 7.16, which is my AR-10, I paid a little over $3,000 walking out the store with that. My optic that I have on it is close to $3,000. I also have about a $400 mount for that. So, you know, it just keeps getting more expensive. I have $500 worth of bipods, Atlas bipods. You can use Wilson bipods. Those are pretty good. But I like Atlas. I find them to be more stable and they look cool. Because if you don't look cool, nothing else matters. So that's my weapons that I use. You know, I also have a 30-06. I have shotguns. I have 30-30s. I have 22s, 22 Magnums, 357 Magnum. I do have other weapons. But if prophecy hit the fan, if we're talking about a doomsday style environment, there's a reason why I only employ 4 weapons. If I only had 4 weapons to choose, it's my AR, my AR-10, my MPX, and a Glock. I own a Glock 22, and I own a Glock 19. So one can be for 40 caliber, one can be for 9mm. If you like the 45 ACP, by all means, there's nothing wrong with that one either. I'll probably eventually get one of those anyways. Here's the reason why. The reason why I like these platforms, they're the most common platforms used in the United States. The gun may not be the most common, but the magazines are, unless we're talking about the MPX, that's a very specific thing. The magazines are, and the ammo is typically very usual to find. And when prophecy hits the fan, when people start coming out of the woodwork, when you start having all the bands of freedom fighters in America coming out to fight against communism, people will probably be sharing magazines. The easiest things to share is just like in law enforcement and military, whenever we'd be able to pass a magazine back and forth to each other in combat. 5.56 magazines, 9mm magazines. Now, there's a difference once you start deviating away from pistols and you go to all these different types of makes for pistols, but at least you can have similar ammo. 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, 45 ACP. That's the three that I tell you to stick with. That's the three that cops and the military are going to have on them. So that's one reason why. If I had, for any reason, had to link up with a group and I needed a resupply, or if I had the ability to resupply somebody, more than likely the groups that I would be affiliated with, we would all be sharing similar weapon platforms that took similar ammunition. So food for thought when it comes to preparation. If you're in a community-like environment and you are prepping for whatever scenario, have similar weapons, similar ammunition. like I said, we're talking about doomsday prophecy style stuff, or the Third World War, the invasion of the United States, the next big civil war. It makes it easier if everyone in your compound can share magazines or share ammo. So, food for thought. And we've already went up to 22 minutes. We're going to stand by for a word from our sponsors, and we will pick back up on the other side talking about tactical gear.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton. We are talking about what is Wrecker's Picks for tactical gear. What would I tell you to buy if you had the ability to go out and buy it, if you have the need to go out and buy it? Well, we've previously already touched on long rifles, AR-style rifles, pistols. Let's talk about shotguns real quick. Shotgun is another one of those things where, you know, it's kind of your flavor. As long as it's running a 12-gauge, whatever. You can have a Winchester. You can have a Remington. You can buy whatever you want. Just run 12. The reason why you want 12-gauge is 12-gauge is a man-stopping round. When we're talking about prophecy hitting the fan, we're not talking about deer hunting. Though don't think you won't be hunting. But we're talking about preparing ourselves and being prepared for some sort of a life and death situation where you may be dealing with armed looters, criminals, criminal gangs, the cartels, the mafias, the psycho that lives down the road who decides to go on a killing spree when the EMP hits and all the lights go out, or for whenever we get invaded by Russia and China eventually. So, you know, have ammunition that is tried and true, something that's also very common to find within the American household, or at the, you know, local store that you're going to be walking through while it's probably on fire and you're looking for whatever ammo you can salvage. So I'm gonna leave that at that. I will say, if you do get a shotgun, I prefer a full-size shotgun, but there's nothing wrong with a compact shotgun. I don't like pistol grips. I find them very useful for maybe two different types of situations. A very close quarters style situation, or for breaching. I'm not going to get into breaching. I don't want to go down that path. But if you want to learn about breaching and all that, go see the professionals and learn how to actually breach a door. But that's about the only two reasons why I would use a compact style shotgun. Other than that, I would prefer a shotgun with a pistol grip. You know, some people like just a traditional style shotgun, whatever, I don't care. You can use an over-under, you can use a side-by-side, you can use a semi-automatic, whatever your preference is. A shotgun as a force multiplier. Hearing the rack of the shotgun in the middle of the night catches people's attention, and it scares people. That is a universal sound that everybody gets a little bit afraid of. So I do believe in the impact of shotguns. Let's talk about holsters. So once again, I run a Glock 19 or a Glock 22. What types of holsters do I use? I'm very, very specific on holsters. For all my cowboys out there, unless you're running a six shooter, I say stay away from leather holsters. I have my reasons for that, but if you could see how fast I am coming out of the holster with my Safariland Kydex holster compared to a leather holster, you'd be surprised. And I'm very proficient at shooting pistols, but the type of speed that I get out of my Safariland ALS holster that is molded to fit a light in it, I will not take anything else if it came to a combat situation. That is the holster. It is the king of holsters. Almost every cop carries it. The military carries it, and there's a reason why. It's just, it's a perfectly built holster. You really can't find anything better than that. And I don't get paid by anything or anyone that I'm going to be mentioning in this show. I'm telling you straight up what I have been using, what I have in my closet, what I got hanging up behind me. This is what I use. This is what I have lived and died with, and I will continue to use it until something better comes. And you know, for the last 10 years, there's been nothing better than the Safariland ALS holster. So that's what I use. I run Surefire lights, and I run Streamlight lights on all of my weapons. I like Surefire. It's, once again, we're talking about the king of flashlights. It's been around for a decade or more. It is a very, very tough, hardy, resilient flashlight. However, they are very expensive. Very expensive. Now, you're paying a lot of money for a very good product. The rifles and pistols that I'm talking about, that I own, are very expensive. You get what you pay for. But when it comes to a flashlight, I think you can save a little bit of money and buy something like the Streamlight TLR1, the high lumen version that has a strobe on it. So the one that I own has a far throw and a flood. So it's a combination of both. I don't get overly washed with the white light, which means whenever I shine my light into a room, I'm not getting a lot of this brightness from the light that is blinding me and affecting me and my ability to aim. So once again, my TLR1s that I use for Streamlight, I had that on my duty pistol for as long as I could remember. I had that on my duty rifle. I had that on my shotgun. I had that on my less than lethal rifles that I owned, that I was issued. And now on every single platform of my weapons, I have this exact same light. It's a Streamlight TLR1. I have the one that has the thumb pad that you can buy on it. I think if you look on Amazon, it's like $130, maybe up to $180, but it's less than $200. And I have never, ever had any issues with that flashlight. And when we were going up and down the mountains for a special operations team tryouts, I had that same flashlight. Is being dinged and binged, hit against trees, falling down on it, falling down into prone and shooting and going through all different types of severe weather, from heat to cold to really, really humid or raining. Never had a problem. It's always been a very trustworthy piece of equipment. The batteries for it are not very expensive. It's the 1, 2, 3 batteries, I think. So the little Surefire batteries, never had a problem with it. I love them to death. And that's pretty much what I'm going to stick with. There are other companies out there. ModLight's a really good one. But you know, I just think I don't need to pay $500 to $600 for a flashlight. So that's why I stick with Streamlight. There are other companies out there, like Olight, that makes a decent product, but I've had one of their pistol lights before, and I found that when I was shooting, as my pistol was cycling back and forth, because we were doing a lot of rapid fire shooting, the mount for the pistol light kept coming undone and shooting off my pistol, and I would constantly have to stop and put it back on, and became just a big headache. So I trashed that thing. It was a great, very, very great light, very bright, had a strobe, it was very responsive. I liked it, but I didn't like the mounting hardware that was on it. But I get the exact same thing out of Streamlight. So once again, hey, Streamlight, if you're listening, try and sponsor me. tactical belts. Everybody's a cool guy, shoot 'em up belt. There's a lot of belts out there. I went with one of the probably most expensive brands at that point in time, which was the Ronin Tactical. I cannot say one bad thing about the Ronin Tactical belt. It has sewed on Molly, two panels of Molly all the way around the belt. It's a very thin belt, so it's about the size of your normal belt. It is a belt that has Velcro on the inside and a soft belt with Velcro. So you would put one part of the belt on, and then you would take the actual gun belt and put that over it, and then you would snap it into place, tighten it, and it ain't coming off of you. I love that belt. I wore that belt for probably 7 years before I started to see wear and tear. And I'm talking about day in, day out, getting in and out of my vehicles, going through training, everyday operations. I loved that belt. I still own it. It's still one of my good range belts that I use now. Can't say enough good things about it. It's a very simple platform. The mounting options on it are great. I like the ability to put different types of pouches on that belt and easily take them off. I like the ability to put my pistol and rifle combination pouches anywhere that I want. I can position my Glock holster anywhere that I want. You know, I could mount knives on it. Easily came off when I needed it. Easily came back on whenever I needed it. So you're probably going to look at about $230, maybe $240 for that belt, if I'm correct. Once again, you get what you pay for. There are a lot of people who have taken that design of that belt and using different types of materials made it cheaper. I don't know if it's still as good as the traditional Ronin Tactical belt. I haven't tried them, so I'm not going to talk trash about them. All I can tell you is that mine is perfect. I like a very rigid belt, the three-gun cut style belt, so whenever you put it on, it's very rigid. There's really no give in the belt, so if you have a lot of ammunition on one side of you or whatever it is that you have dangling off your belt, it's not going to fold over. And if you have a belt that's folding over and you just look like a bag of trash walking around, you know, people are going to make fun of you. And if you don't look cool, once again, nothing else matters. So have good gear. And the other part of that is that having all my gear that was tight to me, it made my ability to go for my pistol or my rifle mag very seamless. You know, of course, I trained every single day for 10 years or more with this system, and I liked it. Every time I put my belt on, everything was right where it needed to be. Nothing was sliding around, so that's what I would prefer. If you had to go buy something, Ronin Tactical. There's another group that makes a similar belt that I also own called Raptor Tactical. And I believe that's some army cats that make that. Ronin Tactical is Tu Lam. He's a Army Special Operations guy, Special Forces guy. So his belt was made and designed from all of his experiences over the decades, and you know it shows whenever you wear it. The Raptor Tactical, same thing. The belt that I used was the Odin Mark III belt, very similar. But on this one, instead of having the MOLLE webbing, it's laser cut material. You know, some people like that, some people don't. I never really found much of a difference in either. I wore both styles during many different operations. My Ronin Tactical belt ended up being my everyday duty belt. And then my Raptor Tactical belt is what I would use during other types of special operations or whenever I needed something for like riot control. So I had two different types of systems. You know, they're dedicated for two different types of operations. But I like the ability to have that. You know, one of them was built for me getting in and out of a car. And if you're law enforcement or if you're military or, you know, if you're a veteran and you own this type of gear, you know what I'm talking about. When you try to get in and out of a car with these big duty belts, it hurts your back after a while and everything is just kind of in the way because we put so much stuff on our hips, on our belts. The Raptor Tactical and the Ronin Tactical belts, they're very slim and they keep everything very close to you. Makes you more streamlined when it comes to sitting down. Makes everything a little bit easier when it comes to riding around or driving around. So I would suggest those two. Ammunition pouches. So I'm a stickler when it comes to ammunition pouches. I would tell people only to buy S-TAC pouches. That's E-S-S-T-A-C magazine pouches. They are cloth on the outside and a kydex material that is formed in a wedge on the inside. What's really nifty about it is that when you put your magazines into it, you can hear that kydex lock that magazine into place. And you can take this magazine and basically shake it upside down. And typically, unless your kydex is worn down and needs to be replaced, which is $2 to replace it, by the way. I have never had to replace mine. I've had mine for probably 8 years. You can shake it upside down. Your magazines won't fall out. There's a lot of different types of ammunition pouches out there that are very cheap. Cheaply made. They don't really have the end user in preference. They just look cool. And even though looking cool is the biggest part of the problem, if you're running or you're jumping up and down, you're climbing over stuff, or if you're in a fight with somebody and your magazines get thrown everywhere and you need to reload, well, you know, dying does not look cool because you can't get your magazine because it's all on the ground. So I have made numerous amounts of arrests, ran after people, jumped up and down on stuff with these type of ammunition pouches, gone through all types of really crazy training, and I've never had one magazine come out. So, you know, I can't say anything good enough about it. I honestly would not prefer you to any other type of ammunition pouch besides S-TAC pouches. The really popular one that people go for is HSGI taco pouches. I had those at one point, and let me tell you why I don't like them. The retention source of that pouch is held together by a shock cord, which is a bungee-like cord. And for the most part, it works. But if you're running, jumping up and down, fighting with people, your ammunition can very easily come out. And once again, nothing makes you look stupider than you having to do an emergency reload and not have any ammunition because you went with the really cool looking stuff and your ammunition now, your magazines, are somewhere in the trail behind you. And it's too late because you need to reload. So, I still say stray away from anything that has a bungee-like retention device on it. I like the Kydex retention device. It is very simplified, works very well, and it is very, very quiet. That's another thing. My gear does not dingle and dangle around where you can hear everything. I don't know. I can't say anything good enough about it. S-TAC pouches. Check them out. So there are other types of pouches that are out there. The general purpose pouches that you'll find, you know, you can typically shop around for that and come up with some pretty good pouches. I mean, it's just a general purpose pouch. So we're just talking about, you know, a 4x4 to 5x5, 6x6 pouch that you can keep, you know, food in, or you can keep a small amount of a medical pouch in, or batteries, or handcuffs. So, you know, we're talking about a very small pouch that would either go in front of you, or to your sides, to your rear. When it comes to the placement of everything, everyone's different, but I always have my pistol right at my hip because I'm a right-handed shooter, but it's canted forward just a little bit because the way my hand naturally falls, if you put your hands down by your sides, if your hands come out to the front of your thigh a little bit, that's about where you need to put your pistol. If your hands come out right alongside your thigh, to the side of your thigh and your hip, well, then that's probably where you need to put your pistol. But put your pistol somewhere where your arms naturally fall. I always have my arms in front of me. That's just a posture thing that I learned from working in prisons. So that's typically where I want my my weapon to be, to include knives and pistol. My ammunition, very similar. I keep my ammunition on my left side because I'm a right-handed shooter. So my ammunition is typically right there on the front part of my hip, canted forward a little bit, so that all I have to do is just naturally let my left hand down, and I'm already on top of my pistol magazine. Move my hand back about 3 to 4 inches, and I'm on my AR magazine. So that's where I typically put everything. You know, do not go off of what the movies do. Whatever you do, do not go off of what the movies do. None of these actors know what they're doing. They're, you know, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but my God, I don't know who the expert, the subject matter expert is that's teaching them how to put all the gear on, but I don't know. It looks trashy to me. Anyways, general purpose pouches, who do I go with? Safariland has another company called Protec, P-R-O-T-E-C, or it's T-E-C-H. They make a really good general purpose pouch. I like dual pouches that has a large cavity in the middle of it, and it has a smaller pouch in front of it, but it's all one pouch. So it's all zipper. I do not like anything that is Velcro because Velcro is very loud at night. I don't want anything that is buttoned because if it's buttoned, it can come unbuttoned. So I typically only have zippers. Zippers are very quiet, very trustworthy, and everybody knows how a zipper works. So normally with these types of pouches, I would have handcuffs, and then in front of that, I would have my handcuff keys in that secondary pouch or the secondary zipper. And if I didn't have that there, I would put a spare Leatherman, a smaller flashlight. You can put batteries is another thing that I ended up having to use a lot of, especially in the riots, because you would start burning through these batteries. So, and I normally ran two of these pouches. I always had one pouch, just like on every single belt that I have. I have right in front of my holster, I have one of these small general purpose pouches, and that's either where I'm going to carry a spare flashlight or some sort of handcuffs or zip cuffs. In front of that small pouch could be a little boo-boo kit or you know, some spare tape or duct tape. And there's all different types of uses for duct tape. So, I you know, anything that you need that you don't want to carry on your chest or carry in your pockets, because I absolutely refuse to carry anything in my pockets. That's one advice. And I would keep another one behind my AR magazine. And that is just a secondary for whatever I need. If I found something and I need to pick it up and put it in a secured pocket, that's where I'd put it. Some people run what's called a dump pouch on their weak side, which would be your non-dominant hand side. I don't like dump pouches just because, I don't know, I think they end up getting in the way sometimes, and a smaller pouch may be a better option. Occasionally, I will have a dump pouch on me, but it's very rare. I mean, over the period of 10 years being in law enforcement, I've never used a dump pouch. Now, there have been plenty of guys out there who could say, well, I've used a dump pouch to put my water bottles in, or put my pogey bait in, or to put this piece of evidence that I found in, whatever. You do you. I have found that smaller pouches make me carry less, because when we start putting big pouches all over us, we start to want to fill them up with stuff, and ounces equal pounds, which equals pain. I want to be as light as possible. I'm already 280 pounds, so I want to be as light as possible. Now, granted, in full gear, I'm about 310 to 315 pounds once you start putting everything on me. So once again, all this weight ends up making me slower and less agile. So, you know, the less stuff that you can have on you, the better. I also like to have things that are dedicated items and also items that have multiple different applications. A multi-tool, or Leatherman, as you know, what we'll end up calling them. That's something that I always have on me. I always have one on my plate carrier, and I always have one on my belt. So the reason why I always have one on my belt is because if there's ever a need for me to use that, then whatever I have on my plate carrier stays there, and I don't mess with it, because that is my secondary multi-tool. Multi-tool will have some sort of a cutting implement on it, a Phillips or a flathead, some sort of a little prying device, maybe a little saw, maybe tweezers, all different types of little things that, you know, you don't want to carry a toolbox worth of stuff in your pockets. Get a Leatherman. When it comes to multi-tools, Leathermans are probably my go-to. There's some other good ones out there. Gerber makes a very good one. Those are really the only two that I've ever used that I can honestly tell you that I would, that's the only things that I would carry. That's what I have sitting in my drawers right now. So, you know, they're pretty cheap. You're going to be maybe $100 if you want to get for the really nice fancy ones. But I don't know, and I can't tell you anything better than a multi-tool than a Gerber or a Leatherman. So when it comes to the pouches, once again, there's another company that I like to use, and we're going to get into the rest of this after this break.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. you don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And we're back. This is American Vindicta. We have been talking about what types of tactical gear do I carry, what are my, you know, experiences with it, and what I think is the best bang for your buck. This is not exactly a very specific list. I'm just spitballing everything right now. Eventually, when we get the website up and running, I will have a complete breakdown, MSRP, of what everything is, and how I use it, how I have it set up, why I have it set up the way I do. And for further ado, let's get back into this. So we recently talked about General Purpose Pouches. There's another company that I like to use. It was actually two, Ferro Concepts and Spiritus Systems. And I guess we'll go ahead and throw this one out there, Coyote Tactical. These three companies have some fantastic general purpose pouches that are not going to break your bank. They're under $100. The Spiritus System ones that I currently own, four of their pouches, the two large general purpose pouches and then the two small general purpose pouches. I can't say enough good things about them. They have, just like I was speaking earlier about Safariland's Protec pouches, it's just one big pouch that has a zipper for a compartment, for the main compartment, and then there's a smaller compartment on the front of it that has a zipper closure. Can't really get any better than that. Works great. I think they're about $60 for the big ones, maybe about $40 for the smaller ones. They have all different types of colors, you know, whatever you want. I just prefer black most of the time. Depending on your environment, you may want to get something that's camouflage. I've almost all my gear is black. It's how my duty gear has been set up for years and years and years. So if I do have any other color, I typically just use Ranger green or a moss gray, something that is just a drab like color that's not going to really catch the eye. And then Multicam Tropic. I like the color Multicam Tropic because in my environment in Texas, from where I live all the way out through Louisiana, we have a very lush green vegetation, and it's also very dark, has a lot of shadow because there's so much thickness of the vegetation. So Multicam Tropic, it's a little bit darker than your standard Multicam. Looks cool, so you know, you got to have the coolness factor on it, but I don't like anything that stands out. I don't like anything that stands out. I don't like anything that looks ridiculous. I just want to be able to blend into my environment. So those are the colors that I typically stick with. I stay away from any type of coyote color. You're not going to find too many environments where I live where that's really going to help you blend in too much. And anything that I wear, I don't want to be confused with law enforcement or the military. So, you know, the military is very specific with their uniforms, and typically law enforcement is blue, tan, or green. So, you know, my type of setup, I want, you know, me to look different, but to not look like, you know, if stuff hit the fan, I don't want to be confused for any type of other affiliation. So, I like Spiritus Systems and Ferro Concepts also for their plate carriers. We only got a couple minutes left, but I would suggest you do get a plate carrier. I would suggest you do get ballistic plates. Level 3 and level 4 plates is the only place you need to be buying. I don't think you need AR-500 plates. If you want them, buy them, whatever. I don't care. I'm not sponsored by anybody. But the plates that I own are made by Safariland. They're made by a subsidiary company named Hardwire, I believe. I'll pull them out tomorrow whenever I go to do another breakdown of all this, because we're going to continue with this throughout the rest of the week. And I'll explain to you the specifics of it. But those plates weigh a couple ounces, and they're level 3A+. So, you know, I mean, they're rated to stop 5.56, rated to stop 308. I can't complain, because I wore level 4 sappy plates for 10 years, just like I did in the military. That's what I wore in law enforcement. And my God, when you shed yourself of almost 20 pounds of weight off your chest, off your torso, to where now I just had ounces, I felt 10 years younger almost immediately. I got a lot of energy back, and it was worth it. But once again, when it comes to plate carriers, check out Ferro Concepts. Check out Spiritus Systems. Another good company is Cry Precision. All those are very good companies. There's a lot of different people making a lot of different gear. We'll get more into that as the week progresses. Eventually, when I get this website up and running, I'll give you everything that I think is worth a damn to buy and not a waste of money. So, I hope you have enjoyed this beginning intro to preparedness, the tactical gear stuff, you know, what the American Patriot should be thinking about and should be owning. I think everyone should own this type of gear. And, you know, don't be caught off guard. We live in very chaotic times. Don't live in "this can't happen to me"ville. So that concludes today, and we will see you tomorrow. This is American Vindicta. Out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." End of transmission.